Well, if you have your Bible today, and I hope you do, turn over to the book of 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, and we're going to look at verses 13 through 18 today. So 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. So Jen had handed me a note from Margie, who's one of the ladies that watches online. And we've been praying for her that for her nerve pain, and she said that her nerve pain is much better, but on the flip side, she's going to have a total knee replacement on September 9th. So she's trading one ailment for another. So Margie, we're praying for you, dear sister, and we know that the Lord's going to see you through that. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. So I'm sure you have, but I'm going to ask you a question to see, have you ever heard the phrase, when the going gets tough, the tough get going? Yeah, we've all heard that. I mean, it's kind of a cliche term that is all around us. We've all heard that phrase. We've all probably used it a number of times in our lives. But that phrase had to originate somewhere. And so have you ever thought about where that phrase originated? Well, I looked it up because I was kind of curious myself. The best that I can find, I'm very proud to say that this phrase originated from the great state of Texas. All right. So it was first uttered in the early 1950s. It was used by a coach. His name was John Thomas, who was the football coach of the high school team in Corpus Christi, the Corpus Christi Green Hornets. And so the newspaper there, the Corpus Christi Caller-Times, did a story on Coach Thomas in September of 1953. And in the story, they highlighted several of the uplifting phrases that he would use to pump up his players. And one of those phrases was, when the going gets tough, the tough gets going. And since then, that phrase has been used countless times in conversations, in motivational speeches, in everyday conversations. It's used because of its meaning. And so when you hear that phrase, when the going gets tough, the tough get going, it means that when times are difficult, those who have resolve are not going to give up, but they are stimulated into action. They're going to keep going even though things are difficult. Maybe Coach Thomas had been reading the book of 1 Peter when he came up with that slogan, because Peter talks about that in our passage today that we're going to read together this morning. And guys, whether we understand it or not, we as Christians are in the minority in our culture today. And it's a culture that it seems to be becoming more and more pagan each and every day. And what we value, the things that we adhere to as we follow God's word, is far different than what the world values. We're seeing that more than ever. The kingdom of God is a strange one to the world. They don't understand it. They don't understand why our values are quite different than theirs, than sometimes the people that we live around, sometimes people in our own families. They mock how we view sexuality, how we spend our time, what we do on our weekends, what our goals in life are. They don't understand why we value and defend the lives of the unborn. They accuse us of being bigoted. They don't understand why we might give 10% of our income to the church for the furtherance of the kingdom of God. They don't understand why we seek to forgive those who would harm us and pray for those who persecute us, as the Bible said. And so let's face it, it's difficult to live in this culture today. It's difficult to live out our faith. It's hard to be faithful. And in spite of all that, just going through this pandemic, it just stinks. I mean, let me just say, it really stinks. And none of us are happy about it. And if you're like me, I'm tired of it. I am very tired of it. But we cannot quit. We cannot stop. We cannot falter. And this is one of the reasons we think about being faithful It's one of the reasons Peter wrote this epistle. He wanted to encourage his readers to be faithful when times were difficult. So let's read our passage today, this morning. Let's talk about it, of what we can do when the going gets tough, okay? 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. And who will harm you if you are deeply committed to what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear or be disturbed, but honor the Messiah as Lord in your hearts. Always be ready to give a defense to anyone who asks for a reason for the hope that is in you. However, do this with gentleness and respect, keeping your conscience clear so that when you are accused, those who denounce your Christian life will be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for what is doing good than should be, and that should be God's will, than doing evil. For Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring you to God, and being put to death in the fleshly realm, but made alive in the spiritual realm. And may God add his blessing to the reading of his word. So there's five things that I want to talk about this morning from this passage as we think about, if you want a title, my wife always said, I wish you would give us the title of your sermon. The title is When the Going Gets Tough, okay? So we're going to talk about what we can do when the going gets tough, okay? Because Peter lays it out for us here. Number one, he talks about it in verses 13 and 14. Number one, continue practicing good works, okay? When the going gets tough, we need to continue practicing good works. You know, common sense tells us that when people do good things in life, they're going to be protected from punishment. They're going to be protected from harm. But we know that as Christians, that's not always the case. Just because you do what is good doesn't mean that you won't be persecuted. That's why Peter says what he says here in verse 14. Because he knew that Christians who were living morally and lawfully in the midst of the Roman Empire were still going to suffer. There was still going to be difficulty. And so he encouraged the believers to not be afraid of this persecution that was going to happen. And ultimately, guys, we need to understand something in our lives, that those who make threats against Christianity and in general of Christians, they cannot harm our souls. They cannot harm our faith. And for us today, okay, we might not suffer physical beatings, but we understand that Christianity is under attack. And there are some today who will deliberately bash and ridicule Christians whenever they get the chance, because they don't understand who we are. They think they know us, but they don't. In fact, there are people today, we understand, that want to scrub anything that might reference Christ or the things of God, and they paint us as judgmental and hateful. I get tired of that, because I want somebody to understand, you don't know my heart. You don't get to make a judgment about me because you don't know me. You don't know where I come from. And many times, this is what people do. They try to paint this picture of us. But let me just remind you of something to encourage you today. Without Christianity, think about all the things that Christianity has been responsible for throughout the years. Without Christianity, there wouldn't be things like hospitals. There wouldn't be relief organizations or food pantries or even some of our universities. There wouldn't be these things. And think about how different our world would be if these organizations did not exist. Think about what our society would be like if Christians throughout the years failed to serve others in their time of need. Think about that for a minute. It would look a lot different. Guys, this is why Peter implores us. This is why the Holy Spirit is speaking to us now, that we must continue in practicing good works in the midst of persecution and misunderstanding that comes our way. This is why we have to be steadfast in our service to our Lord, even though the world hates us. Because let me just remind you again that those who would attack us and threaten us do not have the final say. And we should trust in Christ and believe that He always has our best interest at heart. We have to remember what Jesus said in Matthew 10:28. He said, "Don't fear those who would kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. Rather, fear Him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." It's what Jesus said. So we don't need to fear man. We have to fear the Lord, not in a that we're scared of Him type of way, but in a reverence way. We honor Him. So Peter encourages us, in the midst of persecution, continue to do good. Continue to do the things that we should do in service to our Lord and in service to our service to other people. So continue to practice good works. The second thing that he talks about here in the first part of verse 15 is to keep Jesus first. If you want to keep going when the going gets tough, we have to keep Jesus first and foremost in our lives. Instead of being afraid of people, Peter says we need to keep our focus on Christ. This same phrase can also be translated, maybe your version of the Bible even says this, reverence for Christ as Lord, or sanctify the Lord Christ in your hearts. Because think about your heart for a minute. I'm not talking about your physical heart that's pumping blood through your body right now, but think about in an emotional sense or a spiritual sense. Think about your heart. The heart is where we would say holds our deepest emotions, right? Our deepest things, fears, and things like that. It's where fear dwells. It dwells in the heart. But Peter says for us to replace fear with faith and with reverence. So we've got to go beyond this feeling that we have and let the sense of faith and reverence take over instead of fear. And the way that we do that is to keep Jesus first and foremost in our lives, to keep Him the primary things in our lives. And so allowing Jesus to be first and foremost means that we allow Him to control our lives. When He's the boss, capital B, the big boss, and ultimately authority of all, it belongs to Him. I learned something this week from Dennis about their language. Because when Dennis would talk to me, especially where you used to work at the college, you worked in the cafeteria, you would always refer to your boss as chef. He's a chef this, chef this. And I thought he was talking about like the chef of the kitchen. The word chef in their language means boss. They're talking about the boss. So when Jesus is our boss, when Jesus is our chef, right? Okay, the big chef, all power and authority belongs to us, to Him. And so those who put Jesus first and stand out from the rest of the world, they're going to be recognized. People are going to see something. They're going to stand out. They're going to obey God's commands. They're going to take up their cross and follow Jesus. They're going to give God the first fruits, not the leftovers. They're going to give Him the cream of the crop, if you will. And so the Christian life is characterized by moment-to-moment selfless service to God that flows from the love for Him and His people. So if you want to know how to keep going when times are tough, put Jesus first. Give Him the first things in life, not the leftovers. Not when we think, okay, whenever I get all this other stuff done, then I'm going to give to the Lord. No, it should be the other way around. We give Him everything first and let Him use and pick and choose what He wants to use for His glory and honor. And the way that we can continue going in our world is to put Him first. The third thing that Peter mentions here is in the second part of verse 15. He talks about sharing hope with others. Sharing hope with others. When we have Christ first in our lives, guess what? He gives us courage to always testify about Him. to share the hope that lies within us with others. We should always, guys, be ready to speak out and share with others why we have hope. We talk a lot about hope. We talk about the hope that lives in us. We should always be ready to share with others about the hope that lives inside of us. It's hope, guys, that gives us strength and joy in the midst of hardships and persecution. It's in those times when the world is truly going to see what we're all about. When they see everybody crashing and burning, they're going to see, or they should see, Christians continuing to be faithful and living out, to not be rattled, because we have hope that lives inside of us. They're going to notice peace in the midst of trials. And when they ask us, we can say, it's the hope of Jesus that lives inside of me. I can't do this on my own. It's Jesus that lives inside of me that gives me this hope. And so we should always be prepared to give a defense of our faith. Listen, we don't have to be some great spiritual speaker. We don't have to have a lot of knowledge about the Bible. We don't have to be some great apologist to be of the Bible. But we should be able to share the hope that lives within us. We should be able to share with others why we are the way we are and why we live our lives the way that we do. And Peter mentions this shouldn't be with loudness or aggressiveness or being boisterous or obnoxious. Listen, that's not going to take us very far. To come across as a bully, that's not going to go very far. We aren't to be rude or arrogant or aggressive, but we're simply to share with others the hope that lives in us, quietly, confidently. And so when others ask you why you're different, why you're full of hope, be ready to give them an answer. Be prepared to give them an answer. Because listen, people around us today, they need hope. We've talked about this before. Hope is like a game changer, right? If you're watching your favorite team and they're losing, but there's still time left on the clock, there's still innings to be played, there's still hope. There's still, even may it be just 1%, but there's still hope that my team might pull it out. Hope is a game changer. When you have hope, you still have something to hold on to. There's still a chance. Many people need the hope of Jesus today, so let's be ready to share that hope with them. So share hope with others. Another thing that Peter mentions, we got two more. Verse 16. Peter talks about keeping a clear conscience. You want to know how to keep going when the times get tough? Peter says, keep a clear conscience. A clear conscience refers to a person's integrity before God. And I know that unbelievers also have a conscience that should guard their morality and actions, but a Christian's conscience has been transformed by the Holy Spirit of God. We need to understand that. We don't have Jiminy Cricket sitting on our shoulder. He's not our conscience. We have the Holy Spirit of God that dwells within us, that has transformed our conscience. So how do we keep a clear conscience? Well, we treasure our faith in Christ more than anything else. And that helps us and motivates us to do what is right. We can avoid willful disobedience by looking at the truths of God's word. And if we disobey, because we do, because we're human beings, and we get it wrong and we make mistakes, if we do disobey, right away we should repent that to God and ask Him for His forgiveness. Because guess what? He's always going to give us a second chance. That's the nature of God. But if we continually ignore our conscience, or ignore really the Holy Spirit, guess what's going to happen? Our hearts are going to begin to harden. You go back and read Romans chapter 1. There comes a point when people continually harden their hearts over and over and over again. The Bible says that God begins to give them over to the depravity of their minds. He eventually says, you've made your choice, go live in it. Because that's it. And when we continually do this, our hearts are hardened. And then it gets difficult to tell right from wrong anymore. And you begin to say things and do things and be okay with things that really aren't okay in light of God's word. But when we walk with God, when we're mindful of his word, guess what? He will begin to speak to us through his Holy Spirit, and we can begin to keep this clear conscience before God. Why should we keep a clear conscience? It's because the world is watching us. I mean, first of all, then you understand we're not perfect and we're going to make mistakes. But guys, we should never provide ammunition for them, right? Don't give them ammunition to speak badly of us. They do enough of that already. We can do the good, the best good there ever was, and they're still going to speak badly. Don't give them something. Let them make it up. Let them create things that are false. We shouldn't make it easy for them. And hopefully, as we live out our lives genuinely before the world to see, they're going to stop their slander, as Peter says. And we may not be able to keep all the slander away, but at least we can stop supplying them with the ammunition. And as long as we do what is right, their accusations are going to be empty. And ultimately, they're going to be exposed. Ultimately, they're going to be embarrassed, because what did God say? Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. One day, they're going to have to give an account. And on that day, it's not going to be pretty for them. That's why it's important that we pray for them. As long as we do what is right, their accusations are going to be empty. When we live as Christ did, and we serve our neighbors and contribute to the needs of our communities, hopefully that will silence those who speak evil against us. Perfect example of this. A lot of you know Franklin Graham and the Ministry of Samaritan's Purse. It's who we do our Operation Christmas Child through. And when the pandemic started starting back in March and in early April, Samaritan's Purse built a field hospital in Central Park in New York. And there were lots of people that were throwing a big fit about it. How dare he do something like that? He's a bigot and all this stuff, making all these accusations against Franklin Graham and Samaritan's Purse. And listen, Franklin Graham's not perfect. None of us are. But he's a man that I believe adheres to the word of God. And he loves people, and it goes beyond differences. And Samaritan's Purse set up there to serve this community, and there was a gentleman that lived across the street from where they're setting up. This guy was lost as a baseball in high grass, as we would say in Texas, okay? And he said, I wanted to go see what they were all about. So he introduced himself to some of the people at Samaritan's Purse. He actually began to help them set up the hospital and to help them do some of the things that they needed help with. And he got to know these people. He even got to meet Franklin Graham. He said, these people were some of the most loving, genuine people that I have ever met. He said, we couldn't be further apart from one another, politically and otherwise. He said, but these people were the most loving. And he didn't care if you were black or white or whoever. They just loved people and they served people. So guess what? Samaritan's Purse had a win for the kingdom of God. Why? Because in the midst of when people were griping and complaining and saying all these things, they showed them the true nature of Jesus Christ and the way they love people. So keep doing those things. Keep a clear conscience. Don't give the world ammunition. And then number five, something that we don't want to have to admit, or something we don't want to have to accept. Verses 17 and 18, we have to accept the inevitable. We have to accept the inevitable. The inevitable is that we're going to suffer and be persecuted. It's going to happen. Jesus said, if you love me, you will be persecuted. Why did Peter say it would be better to suffer for doing good rather than doing evil? The answer is in verse 18. It's because Christ suffered unjustly so that people might be saved. The reason we suffer, the reason we go through it, the reason we get kicked in the face, the reason we absorb all these things that come our way is so that Jesus Christ will be proclaimed, and so the gospel will be spread, and so that people will know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Listen, none of us wants to suffer. None of us likes to suffer. We want things to go smoothly all the time. But consider why God might be allowing us to suffer. Consider for a minute that as we suffer, just as Christ suffered, that people might be saved, we too may suffer so that others may come to Jesus Christ. Think about the story of Corrie ten Boom. She and her sister were in this concentration camp in some barracks that had fleas. They were going through intense suffering. People were dying. But yet, through it all, they were thankful and they shared the gospel. And many people came to know Christ as Lord and Savior. Even as we've learned, one of the guards who did horrible things to these women, he too became a follower of Christ. They went through terrible persecution. None of us has ever been through anything like that before. But in the midst of that persecution, people came to know Christ. Just as Christ suffered that people might be saved, we too may suffer that others may come to Jesus. Another reason we suffer, because it brings us closer to God. You ever think about that? When things are going well, we kind of lay our guard down. We get relaxed. We take the focus off of God and we put it on ourselves. Wow, look at this. Everything's going great. Good for me. But when we suffer, it puts our focus on God. Psalm 34, verses 18 and 19 says, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all." What a great promise. Psalm 34, 18 and 19. Suffering brings us close to God. Suffering also increases our faith. It increases our faith. You know, we say that we're people of faith, but many times we're not in circumstances where all we can say is, "God, the only thing that I can do is trust in you." And when we're in positions like that, that's a pretty good place to be in. Because again, it takes the focus off us and puts it on God. It increases our faith. Another reason we suffer is it gives us an experience so that we can comfort other people. When we go through difficulty in life, guess what? We have life experience and able to help other people who are going through similar circumstances. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 3 and 4 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction." Get this, "so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." The reason we go through difficulty is that we can comfort other people. Go back and read that. Write it down. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. And then another reason we suffer is so that we can understand, or helps us focus on our future with God, right? It only gets better from here, amen? This world is not our final destination. We are just simply traveling through. Even if you live to be 100 years old, even if you live to be 150, which none of us will, but if you live that long, that is a small amount of time in comparison to eternity. So that our life here on earth is just a short while. And for those of us that are suffering and going through difficulty, it only gets better from here. Romans 8, 18 says, "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us." What we're going through fails in comparison, because one day, guys, it only gets better from here. Amen? That ought to encourage us. And again, if things are always going great and there's never any difficulty at all, It puts, again, our focus on this world alone rather than on the world that is coming to us one day, where we will be in the presence of God forever and ever and ever. So it helps us focus our future with God. So Peter says, suffering, you got to accept the inevitable. It's going to happen. But here's another thing, guys. This is why we have local churches, bodies of believers, so that we can encourage one another. So that we can be an encouragement and spur one another through difficult times. See, you and I aren't alone. We got each other. We got each other. I heard Oswald Chambers, or read this quote recently from him. He said, "Faith for my deliverance is not faith in God. Faith means whether I am visibly delivered or not, I will stick to my belief that God is love. There are some things only learned in a fiery furnace." And that is true. Sometimes we call it baptism under fire. Sometimes we have to be thrown in those situations for us to really learn about the things of God. Maybe in your life right now, maybe that's where you're at. You know, Pastor, I'm having a lack of faith. I'm having a difficulty going through this time right now in my life. So what will you do when the going gets tough? Instead of just get going, we have to do what Peter says. Practice good works. Keep Jesus first. Share hope with others. Keep a clear conscience. And then just accept the inevitable, that persecution will come. But through it all, the Holy Spirit of God is with us every step of the way. Amen? You know, no other religion can claim that. Do you understand that? No other religion claims to have the Spirit of whom they worship living inside of them. That's what sets us apart from every other religion. We have the Holy Spirit of God, the same God who spoke, said the words, and this world, this universe was created. The same God who rose Jesus from the dead. The same Spirit of God lives in us. Guys, there is nothing that we can't do in the power of Jesus Christ. Amen? And so be encouraged today. This past week, I was just as discouraged as everybody else. I go through that. We all do. As I said the other day, people, you know, made a big deal. Pastors, they like to feel sorry for each other, you know. And I've heard, and I've seen on Facebook a number of times, pastors making everybody themselves feel better. Well, pray for your pastor. He's never pastored during a pandemic. None of us has ever done anything through a pandemic. Whether you are a business owner or work at a restaurant or work for a company or just an individual going through life, working at a grocery store, nobody in here has ever gone through a pandemic. We're all going through difficult times. We are all discouraged. We're all sometimes in this time at a crisis of faith here. And so that's why we have to have the encouragement of God's Word and rely upon the Holy Spirit. So when I look at that, I'm like, okay, I can do this. Not in my own power, but in the power of Jesus Christ. I can endure. I can endure because the Spirit of God empowers me to do so. Father, we thank you today for the love of Jesus, the truth of your Word, the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray this morning that we would not grow weary, but Lord, we would be steadfast, that we would keep going. And Lord, we understand that we can do that in the power of the Holy Spirit. You can help us practice good works. You can help us keep Jesus first. You can help us share hope with others and to keep a clear conscience. You can help us to accept the inevitable that we will be persecuted. Father, we know that you are on our team and that you will help us every step of the way. Father, we just commit ourselves to you right now. We love and praise you. Be glorified in our lives. We ask all this in the powerful and in the wonderful name of Jesus, and we pray together. Amen. Amen. Well, Andrew's going to lead us in a song of commitment. Perhaps this morning the Lord has spoken to you about a decision that you need to make. Now's the time to get right with Him. That's why we do this song of commitment, so that God can do business in our hearts. And so as we stand and sing in a few minutes, let God do business in your heart. Let Him have full reign in your life. Commit yourself to Him right now. And beyond that, if you need to talk about it further, get in touch with me this week. We can talk about it. We can get through it together. There are other people that can help you get through your situation. So whatever it is the Lord is leading upon your heart to do, I pray that you'd be obedient to Him. Let's stand together as Andrew leads us.